All right, Gamer Tag Radio listeners, we need your support. We're planning to go to E3 2019, but we can't go without your support. Head over now to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com and support the show. You could donate if you want, or there's another way for you to support GTR. Go to store.gamertagradio.com and buy t-shirts, hoodies, stickers. Please spread the word. Enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hello.
Hello, Paris, can you hear me?
Hey.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
Here, man. I just saw your tweet. What's going on with this video about EA Game Changers and all that?
Oh, what? EA Game Changers? Oh.
yeah, because I saw it on Twitter, so I don't know what's going on. I've been reading other stuff than that, you know?
Yeah, so it's interesting because obviously Anthem, I gave my opinion on Gamertag Radio, which is out now if you haven't heard it.
Yep.
And, you know, I am not recommending this game at launch. I'm not. It just has too many issues. I've already gone through that, so I won't repeat it again other than to say it had me curious. I was wondering what other people have been saying about it because mm-hmm. I actually watched a video from Marco Style. I saw what SkillUp was tweeting about it. I watched a video like that MTash said, and just other people on and on. So I come across one video. I'm not going to out this person their name because I actually tweeted at them, and I'll get into that in just a second.
Okay.
But I watched this one video where this guy was talking about Anthem, and he basically was saying all the same stuff that we had been saying about not being able to recommend it, given the reasons why. They're all valid reasons. I pretty much agreed with what he was saying, you know, because it's been my experience too. But then he throws in that he goes, the only people you're going to see defending this game right now are the EA Game Changers, because that's what they do. Hmm. They're going to, that program is set up for them to blindly defend all EA games. And all that. And I was like, wow, that's kind of an odd thing to say. So I tweeted at this person, and I actually linked the tweet that I had made just yesterday, not recommending the game. Like, obviously, I put it to the world, hashtag Anthem, added BioWare, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, hey, I saw your vid. You know, I genuinely like your content because I've seen other stuff from this person. But I go, I just want you to know that I'm an EA Game Changer, and they don't sway my opinion at all. And I put the link.
Yeah.
What I said. I haven't heard back from him, so I have no idea what if he's even going to respond to me.
Hmm.
But I left YouTube playing. So the very next video, because it obviously does whatever algorithm, it picked up on a video where he just completely trashed the EA Game Changer program and basically said that he only knows one person in the entire program that will give his opinion. Everyone else is a shill who's afraid to give their opinion, who, you know, they don't want to lose their, look, I know what I'm saying sounds very familiar to you, but they don't want to lose their spot. So mm-hmm. they're just going to say only positive things about their games, blah, 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 blah. And I'm watching this and listening to this, and I go, wow, is that really the perception of the EA Game Changer program? Because I, for sure, have never encountered that since I've been in the program. I've worked with the EA Game Changer so far on Battlefield, and mm-hmm. I've worked with them extensively on Anthem. And, you know, we've done some other things in the past, like at E3 and things like that. We've had some Titanfall opportunities, you mm-hmm. know, Star Wars Battlefront, etc. But the point is this. I've only had positive interactions with the EA Game Changer program. And now I'm like a full-on official member of that program, right?
Yep.
And never, not once, have they ever said, don't give your honest opinion. They encourage you to give their honest opinion because the point of the program is the reason why my freaking name is in the credits of Anthem right now is because they wanted my honest opinion. And I was brutal with my opinion. Trust me when I tell you.
Yeah.
I did not hold back anything. I was not worried about, oh, I better not say anything negative or they're going to kick me out. If they kick me out, then yeah, the program is worthless. You mm-hmm. don't want a program like that to where people have to be afraid to be honest. And I was actually glad to see other people that I know that are a part of the Game Changer program. I'm just talking Anthem. I'm not glad to see that they're saying don't recommend the game, but glad to see that they were being honest with their opinion, whether they loved it or they disliked it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's the whole point. The game's not going to get better if we all sit there and kiss BioWare's ass. Bottom line.
Yep.
You have to be honest. If you see stuff about the game that you don't like, you have to say it, because that's the only way the game's going to improve, right? So,
mm-hmm.
no, I just thought that was ridiculous. So I tweeted out about, you know, that I saw that video saying that we're afraid to give my opinion. I go, wait a minute. I'm a Game Changer. So does that mean
hey.
I'm afraid to give my opinion too? And I just started laughing.
And I've been a part of the program now for 2 years, I think. It's been more than 2 years. Star Wars Battlefront came out, the first one.
Yeah, it was Battlefront.
Yeah, so that was the first time. Yeah, so that was the first time that, but even, yo, if we want to go even old school, EA has been inviting us to other events that this is before EA Game Changers, way before that. So let me go back in history, because a lot of people probably don't know about this, but
think about this before you even go into it. Where was the first time you and I ever met face-to-face?
We
met face-to-face.
Was that an EA thing?
Yes. EA LA 2007 Medal of Honor.
Medal of Honor. You're right. I really, I thought it was before that, but all right. Nah. I didn't remember. Nah. But so there's a lot of people that don't know about this, but EA Game Changers was first announced at one of our parties. That's when they officially launched the program. It was for during Community Vibes 5 that we did the party and everything. And this was originally for EA Sports, and then EA bought that in for all their games after that. So they announced the program at our party, and there was like a couple people that were part of the program that was there. They were also GTR listeners. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know? So after that, EA has been, you know, hitting us up, blah, blah. And then years later, that's when I got invited to be part of the program. And the first time I got invited was when they showed us Star Wars Battlefront for the first time, and they flew us to Sweden. And, you know, we had to keep it on the low. It was like super secretive trip and everything. But at the event, yo, we were just giving them feedback about everything. And they made those changes for the second. But, you know, I'll tell you this, like every time you give feedback to the developers, you know, they're not always going to get 100% right. You know, there's always going to be mistakes. There's always going to be bumps here and there, you know. But the thing is that, like you said, Paris, I've never seen anybody in the program that wasn't allowed to give their opinion about the game. Because honestly, if you get invited to an event like this, because honestly, we usually go to events to do interviews, but this was just for feedback. That's it, feedback. And I think you even went, even before EA Game Changers, you know, we were part of the Xbox MVP program back in the days. But you were one of the first people that got invited to go to Call of Duty for the first time. And it was when they showed Modern Warfare to you guys for the first time. And there was no thing for you guys, like a demo for you guys to play or like a beta or alpha, whatever. It was strictly, this is a concept. I would love to, you know, give you guys your opinion. And in the future, we're going to have more announcements and more things to show about the game. And that was like early before anybody else got to see the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like at the end of the day, I think that in order for us to continue, you know, be part of different programs, and also if we want the industry to grow and to see better games, you have to give your honest feedback to the developers. It's not going online and cussing them out, saying all these nasty things online, all that. Like, that's not going to help. Or being super nice and saying, oh my God, this is the greatest game ever. Like, how that's going to help the industry. You know what I'm saying? Like, ever since we've been part of different programs, not only EA Game Changers, but Xbox MVPs, and even at events when we go to, we always give our honest opinion to the developers, to the producers, to PR, to marketing folks. And you see them taking notes, because they know that we're very influential in the gaming community, man. So they love to hear that, man. They want to release the best product. Sometimes it's not going to be 100%. And you have to tell them that, man. I think the conversation we were having the other day, Paris, is like, sometimes these developers, they're not going to bubble sometimes, man. And it's good to get opinions from the outside, man, in order to wake them up like, oh, damn. Oh, man, I didn't realize that. Am I right?
No, you're 100% right. That's the point is, these games aren't going to get better if people aren't being honest, because yeah, these developers, they get tunnel vision with the game they're in. They're in their own world, their own bubble. So they don't, and this is just how it works in the world, period. It's always good to get a second set of eyes on something, right? Because you're going to get a different perspective on whatever it is you're working on. So you may be looking at something and think, oh man, this is great, I'm going down the right path. Someone else could come in and take a look at your work and go, hey, did you ever think about this? Or maybe you want to try that. I'm not so sure about this. It's another perspective to give you a different way to approach it and to think about something. So you apply that to video games, you get tunnel vision that you're making this game. You're making these decisions that will affect millions of people that are going to touch your game. And it may sound like the right thing to you, but you're making a decision or adding in a feature that is going to affect millions of people that touch your game, right? You may think, or your team's like, yeah, that's a good idea. I really think we should do that. You mm-hmm. really should do the commit. And they're like, oh, hell no, I don't want this. Now you're making me do this and I don't want to do that. It's a two-way conversation. Yes, the developers are the people that actually make the games, but it's the community that we're the ones that actually play it. So think of it like a car, right? BMW makes the car, but it's me who gets in the car and drives it. If I don't like how the car drives, guess what? I'm going to go tell BMW, I don't like this. Y'all need to change this. What are you doing?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So and again, you don't have to talk in a hostile way or anything like that. But it's providing feedback. You provide feedback to the company, so then the company can reevaluate what they're doing and make the proper changes. And that is exactly what's going to happen here with Anthem, as an example. As this spreads out through the community, because like it's basically in limited release right now. Reviewers and people that have Origin Premier have the game right now. And you're starting to get that feedback. And I'm starting to see the same complaints over and over. So it's becoming a trend. And once it releases to the masses at the end of the week, you're going to really start seeing the same trends over and over. And then BioWare is going to react and they're going to make changes to it. But the thing that people need to understand is they can't snap the freaking thing. This ain't the Infinity Gauntlet. It ain't Thanos. Can't snap his freaking finger and it just magically is done. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. It's going to take time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people got to be patient too, man. Like they're not patient.
They do,
man.
They do. But here's where BioWare, the community managers, the EA, and the leaders in the community, and I have an actual rant about leaders in the community, but the leaders in the community have to be the people to preach that patience to the masses. Because if you don't, people are going to abandon this game like droves, and they're not going to give it a second chance. They're going to move on to the next thing, and they're not going to come back. There's way too many other games out right now that people can play and enjoy to sit here and try and force themselves to enjoy a game that is partially broken. And that's what Anthem is right now. And that's just the truth. Mm. That isn't me hating.
Yeah,
that isn't me trying to make up anything. That is the God honest truth. Anthem is not ready for prime time. I think I tweeted that this game needed more time in the oven. It needed more time to cook, to finish. Because I see greatness there. I can see it underneath. I can see, all right, they've laid down the infrastructure to make a fantastic game. It's just they don't have enough content to go with that infrastructure to keep people engaged over the long term. And that's what I'm trying to get people to understand. A lot of the UI stuff and the bugs, okay, whatever. That happens, that'll get fixed. My main thing is content. You have to have compelling things for me to do and to chase in the game. They don't have it right now. And that's just the God honest truth. I don't know how any other way to say that and get people to understand that. It's not that it's not fun to fly around in that world. It's not that it's a beautiful world. I love what they've created with Anthem. It is definitely something that I want to see explored. But people have already completed the campaign. People are already in the end game. And the game isn't even officially out yet, right? And they're already replaying the same three freaking strongholds over and over and over and over and over again. Already, that's a problem.
Yeah, and you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the days when the Division, the first Division came out, and it was the same exact thing. But here's the difference, though, Paris, because you said that people are not going to come back. I think you said the same thing for the Division. I can't quite remember, but I think
Look how long it took.
It took a long time.
But this was my point, Danny.
Yeah.
It took me 2 years, over 2 years, to actually pick up that game and give it a fair chance. Over 2 years.
But you came back?
I came back. You know, but why did I come back, though? I'm not the average gamer. I actually know people that work on the game, that work in the industry, that were basically telling me, dude, give it another chance. And I trusted their opinion and I came back. If I wasn't Paris, a part of Gamertag Radio, and gets a chance to review games and know people in PR and all that, I probably never would have touched the Division. Never. That's the God honest truth.
Not even the Division 2, once you see all the stuff there?
Maybe now the sequel, maybe I go, okay, let me check out the sequel.
Okay.
But my point is, when that 1.8 update came back, I jumped back in because of peer pressure. Not because I heard what Massive or Ubisoft was saying, and I was like, oh, it's fixed now, let me come back. It wasn't like that. That message wasn't being communicated to me. So take me out of the space that I'm in. Do I even know about the Division? And people say this to me on Twitter all the time when I talk about a Division 2. I'm like, oh, I'm excited. But it's like, yeah, I played the first one for a little bit, and then I just put it up, and I never came back.
Yeah.
People say that to me all the time.
Yeah.
And that's my point. Anthem risked that happening to them. And look, to be blunt about it, I don't know the financials. I don't know how the inner workings of EA. This is just me talking off the top of my head, and I'm wrong a lot more than I'm right. But let's just pretend for a second. Let's say Anthem tanks. Let's say it has a Metacritic score of under 60. I'm doing doomsday scenario, right? Let's say it does not score well at all. It is a freaking critically reviewed disaster, and it is not making the numbers that EA is projecting, right? It is underselling big time. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think BioWare is going to be given a long enough leash to actually support this game over the long term and make the necessary fixes and content additions that it needs? When I say long term, I'm talking them giving Anthem a 2-year window to get itself right.
I tell you this. I think it depends, because there's been cases, and I'm only speaking just like as a gamer, through the experience that I've seen with EA. So Mirror's Edge came out long time ago. It was, the reviews wasn't amazing. It wasn't great, but I think that game created like a cult following on that game. So EA decided to work on a sequel after that. And look, the sales wasn't even that great, to tell you the truth. It wasn't that great. Then later on through time, yes, it sold more once the price went down and everything like that. But it depends on the person that's in charge of that during that time and now, that they probably will give it another chance. So the second one came out, didn't get great reviews. People were hype about it once they announced it at E3. And we were there at the press conference when they showed us like a teaser of what's coming. Do you remember that, Power? I think you were there too. It was Peter Moore was on stage and he showed that. And everybody's like, oh my God, I've never thought in a million years they were going to work on Mirror's Edge 2, right? So they got to see the potential of how like the buzz got created and it went viral and the cult following and all that. So with this situation, if if this game creates a following, and if you also go back to the track record of BioWare, I think the last game that wasn't that great was the last Mass Effect game, Andromeda, right? So right. It depends, dude. If this creates a following, maybe, but it also depends on the person who's in charge at EA, because they can simply say, you know what, we're not working on this anymore, that's it, we're done, let's focus on Apex Legends, it's a huge success, we're going to be getting more money with that, let's just focus on that. That's possible too.
Yeah, see, and that's kind of my, and again, I'm talking extreme doomsday scenario.
Yeah.
I actually think this is going to happen, but I'm just saying, in a doomsday scenario, could you see EA pivot and look at the success of an Apex Legends and say, let's just go ahead and double down on that. We're not going to invest any more into this Anthem world. We'll just chalk it up as a loss and keep it moving. And I mean, I know they've already said they're going to come back with a Mass Effect, hopefully, knock on wood, but look how quickly they abandoned Mass Effect Andromeda when it had issues.
So. Oh, right away. No, expansion pack, none of that stuff. Yeah. It was like, we're done. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the reason is because the bad reviews, the bugs, and it just went around, bad press. We're like, you know what? Let's forget about this game. Let's work on other projects. Yeah.
Yep.
That kind of sucks, man. But Paris, let's talk about our experience, man. Like when we were part of the Xbox MVP program, because it was kind of similar too back then. There was bloggers and content creators at that time that were saying the same exact thing about that program. And like, I think in that case, it's a little different, like about us, because we left the program because we just felt like, hey, look, we're in a position that, you know, we're getting a lot of opportunities. We, you know, I don't want people to think that is because of the program. Like there was a lot of different reasons. We're like, yo, let's just move on. Let's do our thing. And I know the program still exists right now, nowadays, man. But do you think that it could be a combination also of like, could it be because of jealousy too? I mean, I don't know, because back then it was kind of like that. A lot of people were getting, you know, opportunities for game reviews, because at that time we were a lot smaller with our audience. And
but
it was, I don't know.
I guess define what you mean by jealousy, though. What do you mean?
Jealousy, like when we get invited, look, I'm not saying now, but back then when we used to get invited to like events, people will get like really mad, like other contract, oh, why I didn't get invited, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm trying to say? Like that type of thing. Maybe because they're not getting the opportunity, maybe. I mean, I'm just coming up. I'm just playing devil's advocate right here, because we're just our conversation.
Well,
right here.
I mean, it's hard to say, because obviously we don't know what we're going through people's minds. I mean, dude, you already know people make comments, you know, they get very passive aggressive and say things like that because, you know, maybe they weren't putting in, as we used to love to say, they weren't putting in the grind and the hustle that we were freaking 10 years ago to get those kind of opportunities. I don't know.
Yep.
I've never worried about, put it this way. If I saw someone get an opportunity that I wasn't getting, my reaction wasn't to passive aggressively, you know, say something about them and be upset at the person.
Yeah.
My mentality was, all right, what do I need to do so that I can go to something like that too?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And you I know? Think that's what happened when you saw us. Yeah.
You are the example of that when it comes to me. I saw you and Chris Palladino at a Lord of the Rings event at Microsoft, and I was like, I want to do that too. All right, let's figure this out, because I want to go too.
Yeah, and that was in 2006. You were not mad. And actually, I found out that Paris got invited to his first community event, and it was for Crackdown. And I was like, yo, I'm so happy. Like, I was happy. I didn't get invited for that event at all. And I was happy to see people that I know from the community there at the event, and they got to play the game. And so I was like, yo, this is what I'm talking about. Super, super dope, man. Super dope. And I think that's what we need to see more out there, man. Like, I think the reason why we have a lot of listeners that they honestly love to hear our feedback, hands-on impressions, our interviews, everything, because we keep it 100. We have never said anything like, let's say a game is really, really bad, and we're like, yo, buy it, it's a must-have. Like, we've never done that. I've never done that, ever. Now, if I like something, like, for example, Crackdown, I like it. Paris is like, I don't care about, like, I don't care. I have my opinion about the game. We have different opinions about that too. You know what I'm saying? So I like to keep it 100. So far, these events I've been to through like the past couple years, yo, we always mention like to the producers or developers that they're at the event. We tell them straight up if we like the game, if there's some changes that they should add in the future or whatever. Like, we mention it. We always, and actually, I think it was with you, Paris, a couple of years ago when you went, I think was for, oh, I can't remember which event it was, but you mentioned to me that one of the developers was so nervous to show that game to you guys, that the people that were at the event, because, yo, they've been working on this for so long. And that's the thing. Like, a lot of people also got to understand that, yo, these developers, they're human beings too, man.
And yeah, exactly.
You know what
they're
I'm saying?
They're all people too.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So, yeah, just wanted to say that. I just can't remember which game it was, man, but it was a couple of years ago.
It's funny you're saying, because I remember the conversation too, and I'm trying to remember the game as well. Gosh darn it.
Was it Ghost Recon Wildlands?
You know what? Was it?
I think it was Wildlands or something else. Oh.
I think it was Wildlands, because you're talking about when Pete and I were in France?
Yes.
I think it was, because I think the way that came up with one of the developers, we were at dinner that night and we were casually talking, and he mentioned that to me about showing the game, and when they have to talk to someone in an interview, how being nervous about it, showing it off. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
And a perfect example too, when we talked to Bonnie Ross, from 343 Industries, she said the same thing. Like, I get nervous during interviews.
Dude, and like I've said a million times at this point, that when she said that, completely changed my perspective on all of it. When I heard that from her, of all people, she just got that achievement award at DICE the other day.
No, it was Hall of Fame award, I think. Yeah Hall of Fame.
Think how long she's been around. And she's talking about how she still gets nervous talking to people. She's the freaking head of 343. It's like, you're nervous? Okay, if you can be nervous, then everyone can be freaking nervous. Why am I sweating over this?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yep. That's crazy, man. Crazy. And it's good that we have these conversations, man, because a lot of podcasters, YouTubers, even streamers, content creators overall, we don't talk about this, man. We always talk about the news, the clickbaits, the whatever is getting the buzz at the moment. But I think for us to educate the people that are listening or watching our content or reading our content, it's good to talk about the behind the scenes stuff like this, man, because it will open the open eyes from like a lot of people be like, damn, you know what? I didn't realize that, man. Ooh, wow. I didn't know about that stuff. It's more like, yo, let's educate, because look, we've been through a lot of stuff back in the days, man, going to like events and whatever. And that's the thing that I love to talk about. Even when we interview developers, man, give us some behind the scenes, man. Let us know what's going on. Like, and if we see something or have something to say about all that stuff, we share that to our audience too, man, because I want them to learn how it is. It's not about, hey, here's my game and that's it. It's more than that too, man, if we really love this industry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Anything else, Paris? Anything else? That was a good. That was a good chat.
I mean, you know, like I said, I'm actually curious to see how it's going to play out here at the end of the week with the official launch of Anthem, as we continue to get more feedback and see what people have to say. I'm not anticipating for it to be good. I'm just not. And this just goes with the experience of, I play a lot of that game, you know.
Yeah.
Over a period of time, I'll just say. And a lot of my complaints I still see in the game. And there's no way that this day one patch on Friday is going to fix those core issues that I have with the game. You know, I've already illustrated what I think those are. This will be a good test of, is being able to fly around like Iron Man enough to keep you interested in the game before you actually need compelling content to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I just don't think the compelling content is there for the game yet. So, I mean, we'll see, man. Like I said, I don't want any game to fail. I want them all to succeed. I want Anthem to succeed. I wanted to be a legit contender with Destiny and with the division, and you know, force me to make a tough choice is what I'm trying to say. As it stands right now, not a tough choice. When March 12th gets here for early access, I will be playing the Division 2. I won't be playing Anthem. I'm just being 100% honest, right?
Yeah.
So prove me wrong. And since I brought up the Division 2, let's be clear on this. And this is where it gets a little hypocritical, I have to admit.
Okay.
The Division 2 will have issues at launch. I 1,000% guarantee it. There will be bugs. There will be issues with that game at launch. I promise you that. But I already know I'm going to somewhat overlook some of those issues, unless they're just absolutely game-breaking, then I can't.
Yeah.
But I'm going to overlook some of those issues because I know enough of the content is there that I want to play. And the reason I say it's very hypocritical is because people will do the same thing for Anthem. I'm obviously not doing that with Anthem because I'm not seeing the content that's compelling enough for me to want to overlook that stuff. But there's going to be people out there that will defend Anthem and will overlook these issues because they're having fun. And at the end of the day, that's what it's supposed to be all about. It's supposed to be about having fun. If you're having fun, then it doesn't matter. Same goes with Destiny. Go back to vanilla Destiny. I overlooked all kinds of nonsense in that game because I loved the raid that much. I loved what they were doing at that time. And I still overlook some things with Destiny to this day that aren't perfect, that I really wish Bungie would fix. So, yeah, I'm a hypocrite when I put it in that perspective, but it really comes down to personal choice. Just goes back to what you were saying earlier. There's things about Crackdown 3 that you love. Hell, you love Sunset Overdrive. I listened to the conversation you and Tony had. Tony brought up Rise, you know, whatever it was called, the Rome game that launched with the Xbox One, and how much he enjoyed that. The Order 1886 is another one, which I personally like. It took, hey, look, you can beat it in 5 minutes, but I still liked it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
it
comes down to personal choice on what you're willing to tolerate when it comes to bugs and issues in a game. You know,
and honestly, Paris, there's probably a lot of games that we played back in the days from the 360, original Xbox, even Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, that the game wasn't all that, but it was fun. And we played it and we finished
100%.
It. Yeah.
Yes.
And if we talk about it nowadays, it's like, oh, man, I remember, man. Yo, that game was good. And when you check if you find like any magazine reviews from back then about that particular game. Bad reviews. And that's what I'm saying, man. You can't always go with what a major magazine or site says, and that's it. Do your research. And hey, Paris, honestly, there might be people like, yo, I don't care what Paris says. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, I'm buying Anthem. I'm buying Anthem. I love the flying. I love battling. Yo, this is the closest to Destiny. Maybe it's closest to Monster Hunter. I love that, man. Hey, you know what? I trust BioWare so much. I have all their games. I'm going to continue playing this until they, you know, I'm going to go through the ride, the ups and downs. I'm going to go through it, man. And you've been through that with Destiny, the ups and downs, and you still stick with it, man. And there's going to be people just like that for Anthem.
Yeah, I mean, and that comes back to the whole thing of, you know, we laugh about it because I won't curse like I normally would on here, but, you know, we really could give two Fs, you know, when people say this stuff. But, you know, that goes back to the whole joke of, oh, you guys are just freaking shills and this and that and the blah, 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 and all that stuff. It's like, you know what, dude, I'm a grown ass man. I will like whatever I freaking want to like. And if you don't like that I like something, that's on freaking you. I sleep good at night. That's the way I look at it, because I'm allowed my own opinion just the same as the other person on the other end listening to this or watching us on Twitch or whatever is allowed their opinion. Think about it. There's so many people out there that don't like what we do. And just like I know I'm tangent into something else. Like, there's this one cat, because you had brought this up last week, I think, tweet from some guy who was mad about something we said. And I was like, and you were like, well, he tweeted at you too. And I was like, I never saw it. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Oh,
And then you said who it was. And I immediately knew. I was like, oh, dude, I muted that idiot a long time ago, because I don't need you spamming up my timeline on Twitter with nonsense. And I don't block people anymore. I just mute them. That way they can just keep talking, blah, 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 blah. You keep talking and you will not have the satisfaction knowing I don't want to hear what you got to say.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is an example of this guy, of what we're talking about, because it doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter. Positive, negative, or whatever. Doesn't matter what we say. He will tweet at us complaining every time.
Some people are just never happy, man. They're always going to complain about something.
They're just not happy. And it baffles me. It absolutely baffles me, because I look at it this way. If there's a podcast out there or a YouTube video or something, if there's this personality out there that I don't like what they say, I don't listen to them.
I just move on. Simple. Yeah.
I move on to something else.
You know what it reminds me of, too? There was people that didn't like what we had to say. Like one year I talked about, yo, digital games is the future. Like I said, this is like years ago. This is the early days of PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Yeah.
One of our listeners got so mad, went to iTunes, gave us a 1-star and explained, I don't agree with you and this and that. I'm like, well, that doesn't make no sense. Like, it's just my opinion, right? Or if they get mad and let's say Paris said something about Xbox One back then. Oh, you know, this Kinect and whatever, right? You will say that. They'll send an email, this long email saying, that's it, I'm unsubscribed. I can't take it anymore. I don't like what the hell you guys were saying. It's like, okay, so what else do you want us to say? Just good things about every single product that comes out there, man? Come on, man. Let's keep it real. Yeah. Like, we can't do that.
Or it's like remember a few weeks ago, so this is the daily conversations we're doing, right? This is daily conversations?
Yes, daily conversations.
Okay.
Yeah.
So hey, I just want to make sure. So it's like when we a few weeks ago, we had maybe a month ago, I forgot how long this was. But remember there was the whole tweet thing going where people were mad, like, oh, I hate Gamertag Radio. I can't stand them because they fill their podcast with politics.
Oh, yes.
And
I remember that.
Like, wait, no, we don't. What are you talking about? And then the more I thought about it, I go, there's been a few times, I probably could count it 2 or 3 times, we actually mentioned Trump or something political on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
And that was it. Other than that, we say stuff on our personal Twitter. Because I say whatever I want.
Yeah, that's my personal Twitter. That's not my business. Yeah. That's my personal account.
People been out of shape with the politics stuff. It's like, dude, if you don't like the politics stuff, don't listen. And it's not that we fill our podcast with politics, because we don't. But we're people too. We have real lives and issues and concerns just like everyone else. And I take the LeBron analogy, because it's basically like what the one reporter, Fox News reporter, told LeBron, basically shut up and dribble. It's like, you're not allowed to have an opinion unless it's about you playing basketball. You can't think outside the box. It's like, that's so freaking ridiculous.
Yeah. So basically he's saying now shut up and go play games.
Yeah. Shut up and talk about video games. You're not allowed to talk about anything
else. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. That's not who I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I have an opinion on something, I'm going to give my freaking opinion.
Yep.
You know? And if you don't like that opinion, that's okay. It's okay. You don't have to like my opinion, but you also don't need to. And when I say, you could tweet at me, say, hey, I didn't like this episode. You do that. That's great feedback. Actually, that's great. Thank
yeah.
You. You
that's awesome.
Take that in consideration.
Yeah.
But
I like
when
that.
Your life's work becomes to come on our Twitter timeline and consistently tell us how much you can't stand what we do. You are the one that has the problem at that point. That's how I look at it.
Yep.
Because trust me, I'm not going to your Twitter line looking for you.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't get it, man. Look, man, if you right now, here's the thing. A lot of those people that complain and will say all these nasty things about us are the first ones to download the show. So thank you.
That's what blows my mind. It's like,
thank you.
Hate it so much. You hate the show so much.
Yeah.
But you know everything about the show. It blows my mind, because trust me, if I don't like what you're talking about, I am not listening to you.
Yeah, I move on.
But see, and the one thing I want to get clear to anyone listening to this and hearing what we're saying, that is actually okay, because I don't expect everyone to like what we talk about or like our opinions or the format of the show, or maybe we're too urban for them or whatever the frick. I don't care. That's fine, because everyone is entitled to their opinion, but it goes both ways. we are entitled to our opinions the same as you are. The way that you can vote is with your subscribe button.
Yep.
Or your wallet or whatever we like to say. Don't listen if you don't like what we have to say. But if you like us enough and you're passionate enough about it that you want to give feedback, there's a respectful way to do that. And mm-hmm. we listen.
Yep.
There's been plenty of times people have pointed out stuff that I've said or we've said on the show. And I was like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
But it's how they say it. It's how they say it. You know, if you do this the right way, I'm like, hey, guys, look, this is what I think. Yo, I'll be like, you know what? That person is correct. That person is correct. Yeah. So this is how we do this whole daily conversation. A lot of people are wondering, like, oh, so this is like a new show. Like how? So if there's something that is happening in the gaming industry that I'm like, oh, man, this is so good. Like I hit up Paris. I hit up Pete. You know, sometimes Pete can't because he can't talk because he's, you know, busy with work and everything. I don't want to bother him and stuff.
Or playing Apex Legends.
Oh, playing Apex. Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing. Like, to me, I like to be in a good mood. Like, I saw your tweet today. I'm like, no, we got to talk about this, man. Like, I want to talk about this, man. And I got pumped up. Paris is pumped up. I'm like, yo, you know what? Let's record this. Because sometimes, the majority of times, all these daily conversations is like strictly... Yo, straight up unplanned. We don't know what we're going to say. There's no layout. Nothing. It's just, this is straight up freestyle. Straight up freestyle. But every time we have this conversation on the phone, I'm like, yo, that could have been a podcast episode. God damn, it was so good. so good. You know? So, by the way, Paris, before we wrap it up, man, very quick.
Yeah.
This, okay, so last night, I saw a rumor about that Nintendo.
Oh, I see what you're doing. You tricked me.
Yeah. Yo, hold on. I saw a rumor that Nintendo was going to bring back a game that was like dead and buried. Right.
Yeah.
So I hit up Paris and Pete on our private Google chat. And I was like, yo, let me guess. So I mentioned two games. One, you shut me down right away. I was like, yo, could it be Star Wars 1313? And you're like, nah, hell no, that can't. And we're like, and I explained why. I'm like, look, the relationship between Nintendo and Disney is pretty up there. You never know. It's possible. You never know. And that game is straight up dead and buried, right?
Yeah.
Another game that I brought up was Scalebound. And that one was a little bit tricky because, like, does Microsoft have the rights or is it Platinum Games? Like, so... This is straight up a rumor. It's not 100% confirmed yet, but it looks like there is a source that mentioned this on, I forgot the name of the website I mentioned it, but it was like a Nintendo fan site.
Yeah.
They said that they might bring back Scalebound. They might bring Scalebound for the Nintendo Switch. What are your thoughts about that, Parix? Is that was an exclusive for Xbox, man. That was a big, huge exclusive, and then it got canceled.
No, hey, I mean, a lot of people were anticipating that game before Microsoft canceled it for, you know, for whatever various reasons, their relationship with Platinum Games and all that stuff. But, hey, if this turns out to be true, great freaking win for Nintendo.
It is. You know what this reminded me of, Paris? It reminded me of True Fantasy Live. Is it True Fantasy Online or True Fantasy Live Online? Something like that.
That game that was going to be on the original Xbox, you could be able to ride around on the broom like a witch.
That game has so much potential and they got canceled. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah. You know, one day I'm going to ask that question to one of those old school cats that were part of Xbox back in during that time. Like, yo, what really happened?
If we ever get a chance to talk to Phil Spencer again, he was around back
then. He was. I'm going to ask him, like, look, Phil, I don't want to get into the whole, you know, money situation or anything, but... what happened? Like, I'm super curious about that game, man. That's one of the most special games for me that I was so hyped and it got canceled, man. And Scalebound is one of them too, man. That's how I felt about Scalebound. You know what I'm saying? So I hope it's true. Anything else, Paris? Because I know you're busy with your family and everything.
I think that's it. Yeah, my family's walking back in the door now, so we'll see what's going on with them. I think we talked long enough.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
All right then, man. Peace. Later.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, and that's it. This was Dating Conversations here. Make sure to head over to GamerTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, and hit us up, 762737GTR. That's 762737GTR. Also, follow us on Twitter, Instagram. Look up GamerTag Radio. We just started that a couple months ago, so make sure to follow us through there. And we need your support. Facebook, we're everywhere, man. So we're going to release one more episode of Daily Conversation tomorrow, and that one is a pretty good one. That one, I sat down with the host of Throwdown Podcast, Tony Polanco. We talked about Crackdown because he likes the game. So I wanted to know, hey, what's the reason of you getting into this game? What the things that you like, the things you didn't like? It was a great conversation. That was like a good maybe 40 minutes or so, something like that. So I hope you guys like it. Let us know what your thoughts about Daily Conversation, because this is something that I've been doing, you know, just randomly, just recording and posting on the on our podcast feed. And I'm doing that because I want to start doing new content, new things on a podcast, you know, besides our weekly roundtable discussions about everything that's going on in the gaming industry and stuff. So I just want to say thanks for everybody for listening, and make sure to share the content to your friends and family, and spread the word about GTR. And if you have an opportunity, also go to our store and buy our shirts, store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. Buy one of our shirts, represent GTR locally, worldwide, and just tell people about GTR, man. It's going to help us out a lot. All right? All right, until next time, we're out. Take care, y'all. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.